Go ahead and take our Bibles this morning. We've got a lot of work to do this morning. We are going to talk about faith and what does faith do? What does faith do? If I had to ask you that question and you had to give me an answer, I'm sure the answers would be various. I'm sure there'd be a lot of answers, a lot of different types of answers, and a lot of things that faith can do for you, a lot of things that faith does for us. But let me make a broad statement to begin with. Nothing is obtained from God without faith. Not one thing. Every single thing that we get from God is gotten by having that faith. There is nothing that you get from God without faith. Now, you can lead a separated life. You can work for the Lord. You can do all those things, but nothing is obtained from God unless it has faith. Not one thing. I don't care if you live a suit and tie life the rest of your life and do the things that God has asked you to do. None of those things will obtain things from God, because unless they have faith with them, you're not going to get anything from God. I'll give you a very good example. If you take somebody that lives a good, clean life but is not saved, are they Christian? It doesn't matter how much you do, it's the faith that gets you saved. Amen? All right, now let me show you a few things here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Some of these will be very, very, most of these I think you've heard before. But Ephesians chapter 2, see, what happens is this. A lot of times we look at the outside cover of a person, and we think that that outside cover gives us an indication of what kind of person that person is. And it can, to a point. But to be real honest with you, you can't tell what a person is by what they wear. You can't tell what a person is by how they look. Now, I think you ought to look good, and please don't think that I'm doing this to say, well, let's get liberal. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, it's what's on the inside that you do with the Lord, not on the outside. It's what's on the inside that should make you do the things that you do for the Lord, not what's on the outside. Many people look very good and get themselves all dressed up and do all these things. They're not saved at all. The things that they do are being done for men, not for God, and that's the wrong type of faith that I'm talking about. That's not faith at all. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, why was this statement made? Very simply, and it's still being made today by some preachers that are not necessarily educated correctly. I'm going to be honest with you, that will teach you that the Old Testament saints went to heaven because of their works. That's what they'll teach you. This statement is made in the Scripture to help us to understand that it's not the works that got them to heaven. Matter of fact, they never went to heaven at all until Jesus came. We know that teaching. I won't want to spend a lot of time there. But they went to heaven because of the belief in what they were doing, because God told them to do it, and they believed God, and because they did that, it got them a place in paradise, which is that other chamber that's in the heart of the earth, that when they went to heaven or went to paradise, they went there, Jesus came, died, and took them captivity captive up into heaven. But it wasn't the works that they did that got them to heaven. But so many preachers will teach you that the Old Testament saints, because of the works that they did, that's what got them to heaven. Nobody's ever gotten to heaven by works. Not one person. It'll never happen. For the rest of eternity, it'll never happen that you'll see a person get to heaven because of their works. Nothing comes from God without faith. Amen? Faith is not this eclectic term that can be put on somebody, you know, calling down heaven and because we've got faith, these things happen. Let me explain something to you. That is true to a point. But I get real nervous about the touchy-feely portion of faith. I get real nervous about people that claim that it's from God, but it really isn't from God. Okay? Now, look, I want you to look at a few things. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I want you to remember these things. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, everything God has is obtained by faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to do a lot of turning today. I'm going to make a statement that will shock you. You ready? The Bible alone will not get you saved. The Bible alone will not get you saved. The Bible must be present. The Word of God must be present for a person to be saved. You can argue with me all you want to about that, but never will you find a case in the Bible where the Word of God was not present when somebody got saved. Never. You're not going to get somebody saved by your testimony. Not going to do it. You can get them interested in getting saved by your testimony, but your salvation is not going to get somebody saved. It's not going to do it. The Word of God must be present. I'm taking that stand forever because who paid for salvation? Jesus did. All of it or just some of it? If He paid all of it, then don't you think He's going to give us a way to get people saved? He paid for all of it. Okay? Now I want to show you a verse that is very, very important to prove both points. If you look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Now, it's telling us two things here. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you must understand something. When you talk to somebody about the Lord, and when you talk to somebody, that's why I don't argue about the Bible. I'm not going to argue about it. It's not an argument to me. To me, it's the truth. By the truth, tell it not. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to sit there and argue with a person that doesn't trust that the Bible is God's Word. I get a little fired up when preachers even put a question mark behind it. It bothers me. Because, and I know this is always my argument, but whatever. Brother Fugate's a very smart man. Very smart. I love him. Humble man. Do you know Brother Fugate does not have the ability in his head to prove to me either way on this Bible? Do you realize that? I don't have the ability to prove either way to you about this Bible. Let me tell you why. The Bible says it itself. If you look at this verse, for unto us was the gospel preached. You can go and tell people about Christ, the gospel. I'm not talking about your story. I'm not talking about, we must be a commitment to Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the gospel story, the gospel. You can tell somebody. And this is what people get sidetracked on. They treat, as soon as somebody hears the Word of God, they're automatically saved. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Word of God must be heard for somebody to be saved. Must be. It must be. And here it proves it out. Look at this now. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. You get two people in a room. Preach the gospel unto one, preach the gospel unto the other. One person gets saved, the other one doesn't. Well, wait a minute. They both heard the same gospel. But if the person doesn't have faith in what God has said, they're not going to get saved. That's what this says. Is that not what the Bible says? Look at it now. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? You know how many people come through that never get saved, never understand it. The doors you knock on, they never understand it. They're never going to get a hold of it. Why? Because they did not mix faith into the equation. Here's what's scary to me. I believe with all my heart that there are educated people, educated in this, that never get saved. I believe that there are educated people that read their Bible through that never get saved because they did not mix faith into the equation. See, what you must understand is this. This word is ultra powerful, right? The word that God has given us is ultimately powerful. It really is. But Brother Myers, unless you believe what God has said, it's just ink on a piece of paper. Right? Do you know why you're never going to get me to stop talking about the Word of God? Because I believe it. Because I have complete and ultimate faith in it. Do you know why I don't spend, I have spent, but do you know why I don't spend hours and hours and hours anymore trying to prove to myself that this is the Word of God? Do you know why I don't do that anymore? Because I believe it is. I have faith that it is. Let me explain something to you. If you're saved today, you've got to believe in your salvation and believe in this book as much as your salvation. Because if you don't believe in this book, how can you believe in your salvation? How's it possible? For by grace are you saved through faith. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen, I'm saved through faith. But understand this, it's the word mixed with faith that got you saved. The faith in what God has said is what brought it down to you. Take out the word. And I've done this a lot of times, but I want you to think about this. It's something as simple as salvation. Take out the word of God. How would you know? How would you know? Is because this planet is so pretty? That's why you got saved? Because you've got a God conscience in you? That's why you got saved? That spurs you to find out God. That spurs you to seek after God. This is the nail that drives it home if you have faith in it. Amen? Now, should you study? You bet. Should you come to this conclusion on your own? I really believe that. I don't think you should take my word for it. Taking my word for it is stupid. Why would you do that? You should study this. You should figure it out. You should let the Word of God convince you. Because I'm going to tell you, the Word of God's a whole lot better at convincing people than preachers are. Get in the Bible. Let God teach you. Let the Holy Spirit show you. If you must, I did parallel studies. I took perversions against this, and I compared this to other things. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, it ain't close. It is not close. I had faith, but I came to the conclusion of this. I must believe this. I must. And I can't let anybody put a question mark behind this. Let me ask you a question. Do you allow somebody to put a question mark behind your salvation? Why? Because you have faith in it. You're not going to let it, Brother Carl, you're not going to let somebody come in here and say, well, Brother Carl, you're saved as long as you live right. Huh? Well, that puts a question mark behind your salvation. You can't do that. I've got faith because God said it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Woo! I believe that. What do you believe? God's word. It was mixed with faith. Amen? Faith is what gives you anything that you get from God. You must have faith. I've had several times when people have told me on the porch, I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible. We have nothing left to talk about. Amen? Folks, if they don't believe the Word of God, you've got nothing left to talk about. Because every promise, everything, every thought, every ounce of everything that God has given us, we learn from this. And if they don't believe that, you're done. You've got no conversation left unless you can convince them in that 10 seconds to have faith in the Word of God. Right? If I told you these are my notes, but you don't believe that, what can I help you? You have to have faith in what you're reading and mix it together. Isn't that not what the Bible says? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Why don't people get saved? Because they don't have faith. Right? You had to believe it. You had to believe what the person was telling you. You had to believe the Word of God when you got saved. Had to believe it. If you didn't believe it, what happened? Nothing. Right? If you look at these things, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Once you hear it, you must believe it for it to happen. I worry a lot about porch confessions and porch professions. I really do. I worry about those because we love to count those people as numbers of salvations. I'm against numbers of salvations for a person. I really am. I'm against that only because I think it's a body of Christ-wide effort. I think our church is responsible for people getting saved. I think our church is responsible in every way. Why? Because we're all part one of another. And I have a hard time somebody coming up here say, I led 12 people to Christ yesterday. You have a hard time with that only because why are they saying that? Why would you be bringing that up? Okay? So to me, it's much more viable to say, hey, listen, Bethel, 12 people got saved. Glory to God. Right? I mean, isn't that really what it is? Because if I get somebody saved at a funeral, I get somebody saved on the street, or I get somebody saved, it's really not me getting saved anyways. Right? Then it bothers me and it worries me. Because I worry that somebody is convinced intellectually. Boy, this is probably going to go over badly, but this is the way it is. I believe that you can convince somebody intellectually that they know the Lord. How many times have you asked somebody, do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe that you can convince somebody intellectually. If you say this prayer, you're saved. Do you realize that's not what it takes? Huh? It must be mixed with faith. You've got to have faith in what you're doing. And sometimes it worries me that you might get somebody on the porch and you might convince them that they said this prayer and that's enough, and then they go to hell and burn forever because they really never got saved. I don't want you to doubt your salvation. I want you to understand that your salvation was not muttered in a prayer. Your salvation did not say, let's read that again. The word of God did not profit them. The gospel did not profit them. Why? Because it was mixed with prayer. What did it have to be mixed with? It had to be mixed with faith, not prayer. And I'm going to tell you right now, prayer is one of the most powerful tools you'll ever think of in your entire life. But if you pray and you have no faith with your prayer is but words. Is that not true? You must have faith in God. You must have faith. Let me just keep going here. I tell you, boy. Let me just keep going. Turn to James chapter 5. One of my favorite verses, I'll never forget taking this into the room with the preacher, reading this scripture, and then praying unto the Lord. Never forget it. But let me show you something here. And let me tell you something. I desperately, desperately, desperately believe that you ought to be praying. Please don't, you know, brother, you don't believe people need to pray. You believe people need to read their Bible. I think they ought to read their Bible long before they pray. You can get mad at me all you want to, but I think you ought to let God talk to you long before you go talking to God. Somebody say amen this morning. And if you believe what this book says, you ought to be reading it and letting God talk to you, and then go ahead and talk to God. Let me show you something. By the way, it was not Scripture that made preacher better. Huh? Pastor Dave's gone nuts. Let's see what it says. If you look at this, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Praise the Lord. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Well, praise God, it must be the elders then that make people happy. It must be the elders. Man, I don't believe in elders ever made anybody happy. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Well, it must be the prayer. Anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, it must be the oil. It must be all these things that I just read. Take your pick, but then look at the next verse. And the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It was not the word unless there was faith present. It was not the prayer unless there was faith present. It wasn't the Lord unless there was faith present in the Lord that was bringing down the help. See, you must understand something. Nothing that we get from God comes without faith. Not one thing. Not one thing. Everything that God gives us gifts without us knowing about it. Please don't misread me. But understand this. If you want something from God, it's not your words. If you want something from God, it's not the word. If you want something from God, you better mix your words and the word with faith. You must believe that God will. I'm so worried anymore. We always make concessions for God. And I understand it. But I got to be honest with you. I don't know, it's been so long since I've seen a man that's had real live faith. That didn't believe that God could. That believed that God would. When I went into that room, I'm going to be honest with you, hey, whatever, take this for what it's worth. When I went into that room to pray over my dad, I knew that God would. I didn't make concessions in that room. I didn't say, well, God, I just, whatever you want, God. And you take this for what it's worth. I begged God because I knew He would. That day, I knew that my God was going to heal my dad. I knew it. And I believe the men that were with me knew it. I don't believe it was a guessing game. I don't believe it was a thought. And here we are. And please don't misread me. I don't want you to get into foolishness and say, well, everything I'm going to ask Him is going to come true. See, you must have an exercising of faith as well. Because faith, and boy, we'll get into this in just a minute. Everybody's got it. Very few people use it. Everybody's got it. Very few people use it. Hey, want me to give you a good example of faith? This is a fantastic example of faith. Not the money in the plate, although I think you ought to put it there. Why is this an example of faith? Do you know that this is paper? Huh? Do you know that this is ink? I think it's real. They did pretty good counterfeiters today. Do you have any doubt in your mind when you take this to wherever you take it that it is worth $20? No doubt. Do you know why? Because you believe that it is. Huh? And you see it happen. You say, well, God didn't give us money. God gives you everything you get. So here we are believing in this system of currency. It's not gold. There's nothing backing this. This is paper, right? Even the almighty dinar is printed on paper. It's nothing. But we take this to the bank and it becomes something. We believe that it is, and it is. Now, I know that's a rudimentary example of faith, but understand this, folks, we have it. We have faith. You can use it. We should be, look at this, think about this. We should be separated unto God. As Christians, we should have a desire to live our life. What happens is this, though. We liken the separation to the closeness to God. We liken the separation, well, I'm going to wear a suit and tie every day of my life. And you know what? I'm not going to. I hate suit and ties, just to be honest with you. I hate having a tie on, okay? I've got a tree trunk neck that I feel like I'm hanging myself every time I put one of these dumb things on, okay? But understand this, I think you ought to look your absolute best, but the looks and the separation unto God is not the closeness to God. Do you know God tells us to do those things? Come out from among them to be separate. Do you know He does that for you? He tells you not to go into the bars and drink the alcohol and do all those things. Not to get close to Him, for you, for your life. You ought not drink alcohol. Why? Because it's bad for you. You ought not do all the things that you ought not do. Why? Because they're bad for you. That will, if you get out of the world, then you have a better opportunity to get close to Christ. Listen, my dad is one of the most honest people I've ever met in my entire life. To a fault. I'm not talking about, preacher's honest too, but I'm talking about my dad. My dad has been honest all of his life. All of his life. He's been a good man all of his life. He just got saved a couple years ago. Well, wait a minute. He was a good man. Separated. But not saved. Why? He didn't have faith in the Lord. Amen? I mean, come on, let's put it where it's at. The way you dress is not going to get you saved. The way you look is not going to get you closer to God. What's going to get you closer to God is having faith that God wants to get closer to you. Draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto you. And by the way, again, I still believe that you should dress right and look right and do right. Please preacher's office rocker. Don't think that. I think you ought to do those things. But I want you to have faith in doing them. Why do I want to look nice? Because I have faith that God wants me to look this way. Amen? Nobody tells me. God tells me. Amen? Oh, well, it's going over like a lead balloon, but it's the truth. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. It must be the elders. Let them pray over him. Must be their prayer. It must be the anointing with oil that changes the sick. It must be anointing him in the name of the Lord. Well, good night. That all sounds great. But it's this and only this. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If we had no faith that God could, I don't believe God would. Amen? It's that faith that God's interested in. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I've been in church for 30 years. I don't care how long you've been in church. If you don't have faith in the Lord, you're not going to get stuff. If you don't have faith in the Lord, God's not going to be pleased with you. Amen? I don't care how long you've been in church. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, here it is. But without what? Without tithing? Huh? Although I believe you ought to tithe. Without wearing a suit and tie? Without wearing a dress down to your ankles? Huh? I think all those things are wonderful. But it says without faith. Without faith. I said without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But Brother Dave, you don't understand. I carried my King James Bible into church and I held it up real high the whole service. But the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. I carry the Bible and I scream about it and I talk about it. Preacher, I'm doing what you said. If you don't do it with faith, it's impossible to please Him. See, a lot of folks think, well, without faith, what do you mean? Faith, I'm getting stuff. Faith, I'm seeing things happen. Faith, faith that Jesus Christ loves you. Faith that Jesus Christ is. Faith that He is God. Faith that we get things from Him. Faith that it all comes from Christ. You must have faith in that. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. See, let me tell you something. I can read all the intellectual books in the whole wide world, and there's tons of information out there. Which Bible to choose? All those things. Good Lord, if you just get a hold of Gail Ripplinger, she will absolutely drown you in information in 10 minutes about why this book is the right one. But let me explain something to you. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, I know this sounds crazy, but I don't have to research anymore. I believe that it is. I don't have to research and find out which God anymore. I believe that He is. Amen? I don't have to worry about it. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I diligently sought Him. He's rewarded me with this wonderful faith that I have, this solid foundation that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that if I were to die right now, glory to God, I would be with Him. Why? Because I have faith in Him. Amen? We know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you know why the world hates the Christian? Because we're evidence that Christ is. Did you know that? You are evidence. Brother Dan, what makes you drive the bus? Be- because Christ is. He doesn't bring these kids in to hear stupidity. He doesn't bring these kids in here because we can play romper room with them or they get oatmeal cream pies. Well, those are fantastic, by the way. He brings them in because Jesus is. Why do we do what we do? Because Jesus is. We believe that. We have faith in Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are evidence that Christ is. We are evidence that Jesus exists. We are evidence that He's alive. We are evidence. That's why the world hates us. Because faith is something that absolutely confounds wisdom. It confounds knowledge, faith does. What do you mean, preacher? I can take you to 17 scriptures in here that teach that the Bible's really not the pure word of God. You're not going to work on me because I have faith that it is. Amen? Because let me tell you, it's going to shatter your foundations. The information will be lies, but you can find all kinds of information that refute this. It's out there. Right, preacher? I mean, you can find it. It's wrong. It's false. But it's out there. And if you go hunting long enough, you'll find it. You have to mix your belief with faith. You have to mix what you do with faith. You have to mix the fact that God can take care of you with faith. If you know it, that's great, but you must have faith to have it happen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Look at, there are different degrees of faith, by the way. Not everybody has the same amount of faith. You get greater faith by exercising your faith. You get greater faith by believing that God can. I'll give you an example. using my life, whatever. Take it for what it's worth. It took me a while to get to this point. When I first came here, my wife will attest to the fact that I wasn't a very giving person. In fact, downright stingy. Okay? And by the way, cheapskates aren't against God. I'm not saying that they're against God. I'm just telling you, I was a very big cheapskate. Okay? And I, for what it's worth, you come here for any amount of time and you will be taught about giving. You just really will. Because our preacher is a very giving man. You're going to be taught about that. And in my life, I have given the Lord some things, building faith. Didn't start out where I am today, but starting out at this point saying, God, that's why we do faith promise missions, not promise missions. It's faith promise missions. Putting faith in what God has done. God, you know what? I'm having faith in You. This is what I'm willing to give. And that showed my faith. Okay? And I don't care less what you give, by the way. That means nothing to me. I'm just telling you what has happened to me. I gave this certain amount of money. You know, God covered it. He proved me. He proved my faith in Him. Then later on, I increased a little bit. You know what? God proved it again. And it's amazing to me that throughout my years of serving Him, He's always proved it. He's always showed me that my faith was rewarded with His answer. Now understand this. It wasn't frivolity. It wasn't something that, well, I just wanted to have some fun, God. So, okay, son, here's $100,000. Fun, God, that's all I want. He's not interested in that. I wanted to further the cause of Christ. Do you know God covered it? Whenever God was involved, whenever it was something that I wanted to do for Him, having faith in the fact that He will take care of it, it's amazing to me that He's always taken care of it. There's never been a time that mixing with faith did not work. But the problem is we don't use it. We have this faith. We have it inside of us, every single person. I'll show you here in a second. But we very seldom exercise the faith that we have. The faith, listen, here's a good example. When you came here today, did you expect to get a blessing or did you come just to show up? Because that's what God wants you to do. Yes, you ought to. Please don't misread me. It is your duty to be in church. But if you don't come with faith that God is going to bless you, you're not going to be blessed. Because God will come down and He will show you something, and sometimes you don't even realize it's coming. That's how good God is. Sometimes you come with your cup turned over and God flips that thing back over and says, no, you need this today. And it's amazing. And if you'll come when you don't want to, it's amazing how many times God will bless your life. And then if you have faith in what God has done for you and blessed you in your church service, God, believe me, will make sure that you get that blessing And then if you give him the credit and the faith and that blessing, you'll be amazed how much more God will give you. I'm not talking about prosperity, because honestly, prosperity is not that important. Oh, you need things, whatever. I'm talking about your life being blessed. I'm not talking about you walking out with a full wallet. We do that every week. I'm talking about God blessing your life. A lot is put onto money. But to be real honest with you, I know we need money, but to be real honest with you, money is not the end-all, be-all. Christ is the end-all, be-all. When you come to church, I don't want you to leave with your pockets filled. I want you to leave with your heart filled. Look at Romans 12, verse 3. I want you to see verse 1, my favorite verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your body. Present yourself there. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, to every man, how many? Every man, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man, how many? Every man, the measure of faith. Every man. Every man has it. Every man has it. Every man has this thing called faith, but not every man uses that thing called faith. Every man has the ability to seek out God and have faith enough in him to get saved. Every man has it, but not every man uses it. Every man's been given the amount of faith that he needs to start out a Christian life, to start out his Christian walk, but not every man uses his faith, therefore never grows in grace. Did you know it's amazing to me how many people I see that have been to church for most of their lives yet never get closer to the Lord because they never use that faith? At least they don't use it in Christ. They use it in all kind of other things. They have faith that their job is going to pay their bills, and I think you ought to work. But do you realize something? That if Christ doesn't give you that job, you have no job. If Christ doesn't give you the health to do that job, you have no job. If Christ doesn't give you the things that you need to get that done, do you realize that you literally have nothing without him? That's why the measure of faith that you've been given should be put in him. Because he has everything consisting in him. In Matthew 6, verse 30, it says little faith. So there's different degrees of faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, it then goes on to say great faith. In Luke 17, 5, it talks about increased faith. So we know that it can increase. We know that we get a measure. By the way, did you know? You said, boy, I wish I had the faith of Pastor Skyver. He's got great faith. No doubt about it. Did you know his faith started out just like your faith? It didn't say a measure of faith. Did it not? I'm just asking what the Bible says. It says the. There's only one. Everybody gets the same. Everybody starts out with the same measure. Boy, that makes me feel good. Did you know that my faith is the same as Jack Hyle's faith at the start? Did you know that my faith is the same as Brother Fugate's faith at the start? Did you know that my faith is the same as Billy's, the same as Paul, the same as King David? My faith is the same as all those men because the Bible makes no difference. The Bible says all men are given the measure of faith. By the way, ladies, that's you too. It's talking about mankind, not men only. By the way, ladies a lot of times have a lot more faith than men do. And what's amazing to me is a lot of times ladies are willing to exercise that faith a lot quicker than men are. Why? Because we have the power. We can do things. I'll just take on another job and God will take care of me. You're not going to get taken care of unless God gives you the health to do that. See, what's amazing to me is we have this decision to make in our lives. What are we searching for? What are we looking for? Where are we putting our faith? Because we're going to put it somewhere. Are we going to put it here? Because the Bible says riches are soon gone. They take up wings and fly away. Boy, that's good preaching, because ain't that the truth? Many times I cash my check and it doesn't even reach my hands. It's like gone. I cash it, it's gone. It's missing. So I don't want to put my faith there. I can put my faith in a lot of places. I can put my faith in professional football. My team's the best. But what's that going to help you? What's it going to do for you? You can put your faith in all things that you can imagine. But do you know this? You will put your faith somewhere. Some people make the mistake of putting their faith in a church. Do you realize that your faith is not supposed to be put in a church? You ask me, the Catholics, what do they believe? They believe, Catholics believe what they believe. Believe they hold on to that just like you hold on to yours. So you go around like, oh, they're just a bunch of clowns. Believe me, they have been taught this and believe this with their hearts. They've put their faith there. But is it the right place to put your faith? It's not putting your faith in Him. It's putting your faith in things. See, we've all been dealt the measure of faith. We can increase our faith. How? By giving things over to Christ. By making it evident that you believe in Him. By making that substance of things hoped for put in Him. By coming to the realization that, yes, I've been given faith, but my faith will not increase unless I believe in Christ. For everything, not just your salvation, not just your Bible, although I'm going to tell you right now, more information comes out of that Bible than you could ever put in your head. You must have it mixed with faith. Acts 6:5 talks about full faith. Can you imagine that? Having everything in faith. I don't know of anybody that's like that. Do you? I got to believe the closest person I can think of that had full faith was Paul. Even Hankies. God worked through him with Hankies to heal people. Can you imagine? Oh, people, idiots try to do it today. Rod Parsley will sell you a hanky. And just ask him. He's prayed over it, price knotted in it just for you. It's not the hanky. It was the faith in Christ. That faith. And if you look at this, we can have these faith. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, look at it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to what? The proportion of faith. Every single thing revolves around one little word called faith. What do you believe in Christ? Christ is everything. There's nothing that He is not. He's all of it. And we so very seldom come to that point. I know I've got to go back to preacher again, but this is the closest thing that I've had. I believed with all my heart that God was going to make him healthy, that God was going to bring him out of that coma that he was in. I believed that with all my heart. Do you know how many times we go into a place and say, well, God, if it's your will. You know, I understand that, and I want it to be God's will. I really do. But I sometimes wonder if we lack the faith to say, God, do it. Huh? Let me ask you a question. I know the bell's rung. I'm almost done. I'm the one preaching anyways. What's the difference? Why don't we have the building? I just wonder. Everything comes from God is from faith. You got to have faith that God can, faith that God will. I wonder if it's because we've prayed for so long, well, God, whatever you want, we want, which is fine. That's a great prayer. But I believe with all my heart God wants us out there, not in here. I believe that. Do we have the faith that God can take care of it? I'm talking about faith that God will. See, this is kind of a dicey subject, isn't it? You don't want to get high-minded. You don't want to get haughty because the Bible just told us not to be high-minded. The Bible just told us to think soberly. And you may think of it, wow, preacher, you're just being an idiot. Where's your faith? It's a crazy question. See, you can't jump from having the little measure of faith to full faith. I don't believe you jump there. See, faith is talked about in an exercising form. I would love to be able to come tomorrow and be 30 pounds less. But unless parts of me get chopped off, I'm not going to get there with anything less than working at it, right? So I wonder if faith should be something that we work at. Faith should be something we seek out. That he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want more faith in God than try him out. You want more faith in God, work at it. You want more faith, believe him. Believe him in the little things, and he'll start to give you more and more and more and bigger and bigger and bigger. Then you may have great faith, increased faith, someday maybe full faith. I hope and pray someday that we see somebody with full faith. I really do. I don't believe I've ever seen it in my entire life, a man having full faith, completely trusting that God will. I'm not talking about being haughty and high-minded. I'm talking about being so connected with the Lord that you know what he wants and you see it coming and you have faith that he's gonna. Because I believe with all my heart that we should be out there. I believe that. What's keeping us here? Maybe a lack of our faith. I'm just asking. Why don't you get the things that you believe God has for you? Because you don't believe he will. This faith is something that every one of us has, but so very few of us use. Amen? Why is my prayer life not so great? Because you lack faith. Why is my Bible reading not so great? Because you lack faith. Why didn't you finish the calendar? Because you lack faith. Because you didn't believe that you could do it. And then you gave up. See, why do we not continue? Because we don't believe we can do it, and then we give up. Faith is some things hoped for. The evidence things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must have faith. We must have faith that God will. Let's pray. Brother Phil, stand up and lead us in prayer, please.